بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Mashaykh have diagnosed our problem. They find it between two elements. One is the excessive love for wealth, and the other, the love for position, حُبَّ مَال and حُبَّ جَاه. So the very crux, the very basis, the root of our problem is this two. Either an excessive love for wealth or love for position. When we speak about love for wealth, then we need to understand that at the one level, the love for wealth in mankind is natural. And at the level that it is natural, the man is excused, because it's natural, it's within him, it is his nature. Right? All of us enjoy good food, all of us, without exception, right? And then, just wealth in itself is not evil. Right? Allah Ta'ala speaks about looking after that wealth that has been made the means of your livelihood. أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامُ. He has made it the means of your livelihood, the means of your sustenance, the means of your continuity is wealth. So, to look after that wealth, Allah Ta'ala is speaking about. So if wealth in itself was evil, Allah Ta'ala would have said, destroy that wealth. So here He is asking you to look after and take care of that wealth. لَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَا أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا. When I say that this love of wealth is natural, the Quran Sharif says, زُيِّرَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, that the love of lustful things are natural to man. It's in your tabiat, it's in your nature. To love wealth, to love woman, all that, whatever it may be, but it's natural in you. A man has a liking for his wife, he has a liking for example cold water, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked cold water, right? So there are those things of the earth, worldly things, but we have a liking for them, and this is not forbidden, it's not haram. And there are reasons why Allah Ta'ala has made the love for wealth natural to you. You have a liking for wealth, and there is a reason for that. The one reason is this, that if there was no love for wealth at all, absolutely no love for wealth at all, then it would have been difficult for this world to continue. Right? One person has got an inordinate love for wealth. So he does a lot of farming, right, crops and grains. But on account of this person's love for wealth, there's hundreds of people who will get a level supply of grains. And grains you require for your survival. You eat, etc., you require for your survival. Now, to the contrary, if everybody just thought, I don't need so much, this is my basic requirement, say I need a kilo of grains for the day, so I can plant that in my backyard, and that's enough. I don't need to do anything more than this. So, would life continue? Life on this earth would have become difficult. I don't say that it would have been impossible, but it would have been difficult. Allah Ta'ala has instilled someone's mind that you go into dairy, for example. He goes into dairy farming. See, there's a lot of wealth in it, and I'll become a wealthy person, I'll become a prosperous person. So he produces thousands of liters of milk for the day. With the result, hundreds of people are taking the benefit. Right? So to facilitate the life on this world, some degree of love of the wealth is required. Otherwise, if you look at it, then you cannot facilitate the life on this world, life in this world, right? And similarly, someone's tabiat Allah Ta'ala has inclined towards, for example, carpentry, towards tailoring, towards medicine, right? And he feels now he can make a go of it, he'll make a lot of wealth. So he goes into medicine, he goes into engineering, he goes into different sciences. He makes a lot of wealth. But on account of his love for wealth, there's hundreds of people that enjoy. That person required medication, he goes to the doctor. He needed to build something, he goes to an engineer. He needed something, he go to the tailor. So this is now facilitating life on this world. So this is the one reason why Allah Ta'ala has instilled in us, to some extent, the love of this world. The second reason why Allah Ta'ala has instilled love into our hearts, لِيَكُونَ أَنْمُوزَجًا لِنِعَمِ الْآخِرَةِ. That this will be an example. This will be an example, a sample of the blessings Allah Ta'ala has got in store for us in the Akhirat. Say, for example, there was nothing here. Now, Allah Ta'ala is speaking about, say, fruit of Jannah, right? And you don't know what that fruit is like. So, will you be tempted for that fruit? You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, so you can't be tempted. Now, you know that fruit, alright? And then Allah Pak speaks about it. When Allah Pak speaks about it, now you can be tempted. In Hidayah, there is one ibarat, you know, that a little bit of silk is permissible. Approximately 4 fingers or 3 fingers, that amount of silk is permissible. Why? So that this may be a small sample of the silk of Jannah. Now you see this, and it's so fine, quality, etc., texture, fineness, and all that. Now this then reflects, makes you reflect about the favors of Allah Ta'ala that He's got for you in Jannah. Now you don't have that at all. How are you going to reflect? Right? You can't reflect. A small child, say 11 years of age, right? You ask him, you tell him about a woman, right? Does he know what is the enjoyment of a woman? 9 years of age, 7 years of age, he doesn't know. He doesn't have the potential to enjoy. He doesn't have that ability to appreciate. He doesn't have it at all. Now you're going to speak about it. Is it going to make any sense to him? Is he going to enjoy that? Now Allah is speaking about the hur of Jannat, right? And there's nothing in this world that you can identify with. If you can't identify that hur with anything, then how do you appreciate that hur of Jannat? So Allah has made permissible for your wives. Through her, now you can identify and you can appreciate the hur of Jannat, right? So all these things that Allah has got here, be it the woman of Jannat, be it the young lads, right? Be it the streams of milk and honey, etc. Whatever Allah has got, there is some example, some sample here. A small sample. And the sample also is very, very small. It's a minuscule compared to the real milk. It's a minuscule compared to the real woman of Jannat. Very, very small. No, absolutely no comparison. When you see that and this, and it's chalk and cheese, you know. Absolutely worlds apart. But there must be something to attract your heart. There must be something that will pose as a sample. Right. So Allah has kept these things here, that it may be a sample, it may be a thing that you can identify with the favors and with the comforts of the hereafter. Right. So this is the second reason. Right. The third reason, and that is the actual reason, is Allah has created this love for wealth, He has created within you as a test, right? It's a test now. This is supposed to be a vehicle to carry you, to facilitate your journey to the hereafter. That wealth was supposed to be a means, a vehicle to take you to Jannah, take you to the hereafter. Now, who is that servant of Allah Ta'ala who uses it as a vehicle and nothing more than that. And who is that person who really gets drowned into this vehicle? He gets drowned into it, he gets absorbed into it, he gets lost into it. So who is that person that gets lost into it? And who is that person that just uses it as a vehicle just to enable him to carry on to the hereafter? In order to facilitate the life of this world, you need some wealth. For that wealth, you need clothing, you need warmth, you need shelter, you need food, right? So the different type of requirements that you have, you need, right? That is used, or that is supposed to be a means to facilitate your journey to the hereafter. So this is the actual reason. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, right? لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to test you out. That who is that person who will get drowned into this? Then he will not be able to discriminate. He will not be able to distinguish halal from haram. He will not distinguish what is right from wrong. He will not distinguish what is his from others. He doesn't distinguish anything. And there is the other one that no, Allah Pak doesn't like this, he likes this. Allah Ta'ala will be angered with this and he will be pleased with this. Allah Ta'ala has declared this as impermissible and he has declared this as permissible. So he only uses it just as a vehicle, just to take him across. Nothing further than that. So this is the actual reason why Allah Ta'ala has created wealth, right? So now that we understand the reason why Allah Ta'ala has created this, then it is prudent for a man, right? One is to understand his limits. He understands his limits, right? And then he must understand how to use it. If he doesn't understand the limits, or he doesn't understand how he must use it, he's going to go off the tangent, he's going to go off the course, and he's going to bring destruction for himself. He's going to bring destruction for those passengers that are with him. Right? It's a vehicle. When it's a vehicle, if he knows how to use it, what is the speed regulations, what is the traffic regulations of the Sharia, then inshallah, Allah Ta'ala willing, he will reach his goal safely. He'll arrive home safely, no problem, no difficulty. But if he doesn't realize and he doesn't understand the regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't understand the laws that apply to the traffic of the akhirat, he doesn't understand that, now how is he going to enjoy a safe journey to the next end of the world? Can he? He can't. So in order to take him across, he'll require two things. One is, he will require the understanding of that law. What is halal? What is haram? What is liked and desired by Allah Ta'ala? And what is not desirable? Otherwise, every now and then he's getting a ticket. This is haram, you got a ticket for it. Right? This is makruh tahrimi, he's got a ticket for that. And this is incorrect, impermissible, he's got a ticket for that. All the time he's getting tickets. And tickets are just multiplying. Right? Right? And by Allah Ta'ala, it's not like this, that Allah Ta'ala forgets everything. لا يذل ربي ولا ينسى. The records by Allah Ta'ala is not forgotten. It's there. Whether it's a million years that have passed, those records will be there. It's in, Allah Ta'ala knows about it. It is in the memory of the lower mahfuz. It is in the ilm of Allah Ta'ala. It cannot be forgotten. Here, in this world, whatever records they may be influenced by several factors, right? Sometimes there is a computer crackdown, breakdown, something has been lost, right? They can't find it, they can't retrieve what has been lost completely. You stored up so much information and you worked up a program and then something happened and the whole thing was lost. You can't retrieve it, you can't take it out. But Allah Ta'ala, there is no such thing like forgetting. No such a thing like getting lost. It's not like that. It's there and it's preserved. So the one thing that you need to know how to enjoy that safe journey to the hereafter is to understand the regulations. You've come here, you have to understand the regulation. You want to drive, you say, no, driving is a necessity and without driving, I can't get my things working. So the law will tell you, yes, it's true that you can't get your things working, but understand the law and apply the law when you are driving. Then will we allow you to use the roads, right? There, everybody says, no, what the law is saying is right. We need to understand the law. for our safety and for the safety of our dependents and other motorists as well, right? So everybody understands that we have to travel here. When we need to travel, then we need to know the law. Similarly, you are traveling and this journey is taking you to a goal. That goal is the Akhirat. If you want to arrive safely, then you will definitely need to know the law. If you don't learn that law, then you are causing problems for you. You are causing problems for the people that are around you and your dependents as well. You are causing problems for the people around you because now you are going to corrupt the environment. Right? People around you are getting affected. أَدَّلُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. You are doing wrong, others are getting influenced. You are doing right, others are getting influenced. So you are an influence on others, good or bad, both ways. You are an influence to your own dependents. So definitely you will need to understand what is the law. Right. In order to move that vehicle across, two things are required. One is the law, and one is a little bit of energy. You require that energy as well. And that motor car, you know, there is a driver, there is the motor vehicle, and the car driver knows the law as well. Now, just knowing the law is insufficient. Now he needs to have the type of power. The car needs a type of power. It needs that energy. It needs that type of strength to carry him. And that motor car doesn't have the steam. It doesn't have the power. It doesn't have that energy. If it doesn't have that energy, how is it going to move? So you know the law of the Sharia, right? You understood it. You have got a vehicle that is yourself. But you do not have the type of energy that will prompt you towards good. You don't have that energy. You want to do the good. You want to restrain from the evil. But you don't have the type of energy. You don't have the type of steam. Right? So now, this is that thing where we get stuck. See, we know this is haram. I detest this. Alcohol, I detest it. Drugs, I don't like it at all. But what do I do? Force of company, force of habit, dependency, and I think pushes me right down. What do I do now? Right. I don't like to miss out my namazes, but that association, my business, my work that I do, that forces me to miss out my jamaat. It forces me to miss out my takbir ula. It forces me to do a lot of things I don't wish to do, but it forces me. I know that I have to recite the Quran Sharif, I have to make zikr, I know that, I have to do it. But I don't have the type of motivation driving me to do these things here punctually, regularly. So this additional energy is required. When that additional energy is required, when you get that additional energy, then you're moving, and you're moving all by yourself. Right? You're moving by yourself, you've got that additional energy, you've got that additional strength, and that strength is saying you do this, that energy is saying you do this and keep away from this, do this and keep away from this. That is that energy that is provided to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Right. And that energy is required for all of us. Call it energy. In the terminology of suluk, they call it jazb, right? It's an attraction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to distract you from wrong and to attract you towards good. It's an attraction, right? Jazb is called attraction. And that attraction, what will it do? It will distract you from wrong. It will distract you from evil. Good, it will take you, it will enhance you, and you will feel restless until you have done the good. You will not feel comfortable. Until you haven't done the good, you haven't done the right thing, you will feel restless within yourself. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri Rahmatullah Alayh, he was doing some work and he instructed one of his workers to do something. And something went wrong where he shouted him for what he has done. He had shouted the worker for what he had done. Anyway, later on, towards the afternoon, then he realized that he was taking stock of himself. He realized that I shouted this worker more than what was required. Alright, this was the wrong, this was the discrepancy, and I shouted him more than what was required. Now that quatimorit, you see that energy, that steam that is within you, now you see there's a difference. That car, that vehicle is not moving like it's supposed to be moving. You need that car to be consistent. Right? It's moving straight, everything, the alignment, everything is right. But now you see an inconsistency in the ride. Right? So these Buzruganadin and Mashaykh, they are watching themselves all the time. So this happened towards noon, and by the afternoon he realized, hey, I've committed a mistake. Right? So their systems are working. Their systems are not failing. And our systems have failed, you see. When the systems are working, then that barometer is showing. All that gauges, you know, you have in the motor car, that gauge is showing. This is working, this is working. This is the petrol consumption, this is the pressure, whatever. So everything is showing. Where's the weakness? It is showing exactly. So as he's taking an account of himself, it is showing that this, in this respect, he went off. And now he's restless. He is restless. He's uneasy. Like imagine now you are driving, and the one tire, you know, you understand that the tire, something wrong. You need to adjust the pressure. The pressure is not right. Right? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue? Or you're going to stop it, get the pressure adjusted, then you're going to move. What are you going to do? So these people, right, because all the systems within them are working all the time, the systems are working, the taqwa is working all the time, the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala is to its extremes. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Right? The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to the required levels. So everything, every system in them is working. Nothing is collapsed, nothing is failing. When everything is working within them, then it's showing straight away that this place here, you have gone down. You have gone wrong. And when they see it and they notice, they identify the problem, then they feel uneasy. And I can see, I understand that this is a problem. This now I'm going to bring about a disaster to myself. I'm going to bring a ruin to myself. You know, you're driving that motor car, and you understand that you don't have fuel, right? So do you feel safe if you're traveling from here to Cape Town, and midway you see that there's no petrol? Do you feel safe of yourself? You see that there's something wrong with the tire, right? Tire has burst or something has happened, pressure is not right. Do you feel comfortable? No, you're going to attend to it straight away. You feel that this is genuinely required for facilitating your safe journey across. So exactly the same, these people feel exactly the same. In fact, more, that if I don't get this right, the journey across will not be safe. I will have a problem down the line. There's going to be some problem, some difficulty, some obstruction going to come about, which will then make my difficulty, will make my journey difficult. So let me get this sorted out. So they are most concerned about this journey being safe on to the next. And that is why you'll find that when the time, that last moment comes, then they are eager to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Allah ta'ala is eager to meet them. They don't find any qualms. They don't find any type of hesitation and reluctance in meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحِبُّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ فَأَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. They long to meet Allah ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala longs to meet them as well. Why? Because everything is right. Everything is correct. Everything is moving. All the systems are working within them. There is nothing that is collapsed. They have got the love of Allah ta'ala. They have got the fear of Allah ta'ala. Everything is in place. And when everything is in place, then Allah ta'ala loves them. When Allah ta'ala loves them, obviously you are very interested and very eager, very desirous to meet your beloved. He is your beloved. And you're certain about it, you're sure about it, so you are going in that direction. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, you know, the king of Banu Umayyah king, he summoned a tabi'i. So, in the sitting, he put several questions before this tabi'i. He put several questions before the tabi'i, and he says, why is it that, the first question he asked is, how do we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we meet our Rabb? How do we meet our Creator? So he says, it's easy, it's very simple. A person who was righteous and who was muttaqi, then he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like how a musafir has returned home, right? Imagine your father had gone for Hajj, right? He spent 2 months in Hajj or in Umrah, right? Or 3 months or 4 months he spent and he came back. Now, what a warm reception you will give him. And how much he longs to meet you people as well. So he is looking forward. Hey, when is the time I'm going to meet my sons, my friends and all that. So he's looking forward. And then you look at that sign also on the computer, you know, that so many miles left. When that thing is moving? When is moving? Why is plane is not moving? It looks like it's stationary. Why? What's wrong with these people? They can't they pick up the speed? But he's looking forward. I need to meet my friend. I need to meet this person here. I need to meet him. Right. Bilal radiallahu ta'anhu, in his last day, and his wife is crying away. And he is cheering away. Tomorrow I'm going to meet beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he can see now that, he can see on the screen that my journey is now coming to an end. Bilal radiallahu anhu can see that his journey is coming to an end. And he's rejoicing at it, that my journey is coming to an end. And I'm going to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm going to meet the Sahaba-i Kiram. I'm going to meet all the friends of Allah ta'ala. I will meet them. You see, like how when we are traveling and we're coming to the last leg of the journey, and how do we rejoice? Hey, I'm come back now to my friends. Imagine you've gone to America 2-3 years now, or 5 years. After 5 years, you're returning back. Hey, see now, what is Pingo like now? I meet this friend here, go to the masjid, meet the Mawlana there. And all the memories are flashing back, whatever you know of. So similarly now, when that mu'min, that muttaqi is in that state, then he's thinking of his hoor one day, my hoor's not, what's it going to be like, and what they'll do for me, and the specials that they'll have for me, what food they will have for me, and they will lay it out for me, they'll lay the dasturkhan for me, and what type of clothing I'll have, and where they will take me, right, for a tour and all that. Now you're excited about the whole thing. They will take me here, they will take me to see Jannah, they will take me to see Rasulullah, they will take me here, and I'll see my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, who I was longing to meet and whose history I heard about. They were like this. So what memories are coming into your mind? Can you imagine? Like that person that is coming back, the memories that is coming after 5 years. Durban has changed like this, and they got this building here, and they got that building. So you're going to go and see everything. So similarly, you are at the last leg of your journey, and you are just looking forward. I'm going to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm going to meet the Sahaba Kiram. I'm going to meet now this Awliya Kiram, whose stories I heard so many times that over and over again. I'm going to get into Jannah. I'm going to see the spectacle of Jannah. They only saw the book of spectacle of Jannah. Now I'm going to see really the spectacle of Jannah. There I only heard about the hoor. Here I'm going to really see that hoor. And sometimes it makes you think, you know, that Allah Ta'ala has kept these things away from us. It is a blessing that Allah Ta'ala has kept these things away, because the happiness this thing has, the enjoyment, the excitement it has, our physical bodies can't contain. There's so much of excitement in Jannat and so much of happiness that this body can't contain it. Right? So this vehicle here can't contain it. That engine, the capacity of this engine is too small. It's too small. So Allah Ta'ala gives you another engine with a big, magnificent capacity that you can take all the excitement and the thrills of Jannat. Thrills and the frills of Jannah will be real. Yeah, the thrills are not real. There, the thrills are real. They say, one peasant, farmer, small, is doing, you know, like an informal job. Or you get an informal job, 15, 29 a day in Germany somewhere. So he's got an informal job, 20 rands a day. And he played the lottery, his luck, and it came out. But now, it's a fabulous amount that he's won. Right? Fabulous amount that he's won. 100 million pounds he's won. So, those people that are running the competition, they say that they try and work it out. This person is a toko boy, right? He's working an informal work. And suddenly he's going to see 100 million in his hands. He's going to get shocked just now. He may get a heart attack if he sees this type of amount. So what do we do? Now they're having a mashwara. What do we do? So they felt the right thing is, we'll speak to the pastor of the town or the pastor. So we'll speak to the pastor. The pastor will filter the news. He'll break down the news to them. He's the most capable person, perhaps, because the peasant, this worker, He will come and meet him on the Sunday. And at the Sunday service, you can speak to him and you can break down the news to him gradually, nicely. So they come to the Sunday service. And the pastor, meanwhile, is informed this person earned so much. He won so much, 100 million, right? Now the pastor got him talking, got him into a discussion. And then as he's leading him to the discussion, then he says, "Hey, I heard you play the lottery and all that." "So, yeah, I play the lottery. And you know, it's a big amount." "Yeah. But say if you won the lottery, what will happen then? What will you do? If you won and you win the lottery, then what will you do?" "So, well, half is yours." Now the pastor got a heart attack and he died. Really, sometimes the joy, the happiness of this world, we can't contain. Imagine worldly things. I tell you, this whole world, the whole world, what it contains, is not even a mosquito wing. Right? You can't even contain this. Where are you going to contain those fools with this earthly body and earthly heart? You can't contain it. The happiness and the excitement is too much. Your earthly bodies can't contain it. It can't take it. So Allah Ta'ala gives you another heart, another vehicle, another engine, that you can cope with the excitement, with the thrill, with the excitement of the hereafter. He gives a total different one. A different body, a different heart, a different soul, that now you have to cope with the favors of Jannah. So you must be able to enjoy them. It mustn't happen you get a heart failure there. No, you must be able to cope with it. So I'll give you, I'll replace it. This is just a body, temporary body, and you leave it behind, take another body. Eh? It's a temporary vehicle, you leave it behind and you take another one. So man ahabba liqa Allahi, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. You look forward to the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala looks forward to meeting you as well. That as the old person in Islam, as he progresses in life, then he wants to see Allah ta'ala. So now I had enough of this world, now I'm going to see Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grants it to him. Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna Allah thumma istaqamu tatanazzalu alayhim al-malaikatu. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abshiru. So at four occasions the malaika come. The malaika come and they strengthen your heart all the time. See? They strengthen your heart all the time. You know, I was wondering once that you get kuffar companies running for centuries. Coca-Cola, more than 1.5 century they're running, right? Johnson & Johnson, more than 1.5 century, right? 2 centuries sometimes. And these big companies, right? Palm Olive, etc. And they're running for more than 1 century, 2 centuries they're running. But you will hardly hear of a Muslim company that is running so long, right? But I feel that is a blessing. It's a blessing for a mu'min. Right? That kafir, he doesn't believe in the belief of continuity. He doesn't have the concept of continuity. After death, everything comes to an abrupt end. Right? Everything comes to an end. Right? There's no such a thing like continuity. That is why the kafir is taken across to his qabr in a black car. And people with black suits, everything end now. Everything came to an end. Now they're putting white suits now. Perhaps they may have heard the bayan, so they changed now a little bit, see. But they are driving in black. Why? The whole thing is now sealed up for them. Everything is closed. Everything is closed. End. And the moment that is taken across, he's taken in a green car. Everything is starting off now, just now. Life is just starting, it's green. You still to get ripe. Your life is just starting now. Right? This was nothing. This, compared to the akhirat, is nothing. So your life is still green, it's just starting off now. As you're dying, it's just starting off. You will see what are the thrills and excitement we have got for you. Right? So that moment's life is only starting at that time. So the malaika are coming to him in this life. Allah tahzanu wa abshiru. There's nothing to fear and there's nothing to grieve. There's two periods of time. One is the future and one is the past, right? So all of us are scared about one of the two, either of the past or the future. If my past is ever dug up, what's going to happen? And what's going to happen in the future? These are the two fears that our minds rotate around, revolve around. If my past, something happens of the past, something, someone just unearth something of my past, what's going to happen? Mera kya hoga, right? I did this and I did this. And something is unearthed, something is surfaced about me. What's going to happen to me? What I did when I was 14, 15, and something came up, you know, Now, Allah Pak understands us. He's created us. He's made us. Who made us? Allah Pak made us. And He knows the things that are in you. نَحْنُ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ Allah Pak says, we have made man, and we know exactly what is going in his mind. We know it. Allah Pak has created, He knows the system that He's placed there. So your mind is working in two directions. One is about the past, what's going to happen. Someone will just discover what I had done in the past. Kya hoga mera? And the other fear you have of the hereafter, of the future, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? In this world also we have a fear and a concern about the future. What's going to happen next year? This investment of mine, this business of mine, what's going to happen? Is it going to fall or is it going to prosper? So you are tossed between two fears. One is the fear of the past. One is the concern of the future. So Allah Pak says, لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا لا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا. There's nothing to grieve about the past. As far as the past is concerned, don't worry about it. Don't grieve about it. We have wiped all your baggage. We have wiped it off. Customs clear. You're moving through. No problems with you. No problems. Everything is going. All the systems, all green lights are showing. Let's go through. What Allah Pak is saying? حَسَبْنَا حِسَابَ يَسِيرًا We're just going to check on the surface. Things all right. Move now. You're wasting time now. Go in your jannah. You're holding a traffic now. So the malaika are pushing you through the course. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. Nothing to grieve about. Because we wiped everything out. Don't think about the past now. We wipe it out. But that is for who? Inna alladhina qalu rabbuna Allahu thumma istaqamu. Try and be firm. Be firm. In your niyyah, be firm. In your act, be firm. In your behavior, be firm. In your conduct, be firm. You have done the wrong to the person, then rectified. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. How much you can do, you do. I explained this morning, man killed 100 people. Murdered 100 people in cold blood, ruthless. Ruthless. But his niyat was right. His intention was correct. That I make a complete tawbah. I'm trying for the best. I'm moving to the qariya to salihin to change my life. This wrong association had brought me to do what I have done. Now I'm moving into the company of the pious, right? And that, inshallah, will free me, emancipate me from my wrong. It will wash me out from my wrong. Right? So he's trying his best. He's trying his best. His intention is right. And Allah Pak makes all the systems work for him. Farishta, you work for him. The earth work for him. Imagine the earth, whole earth. You work for this person here. You contract on this side and you expand on that side. Allah Pak is making all systems work. When that person's intention is right, and his conduct is right, he's changed himself, he's working to the best of his capacity. How much he can do, he did. So that's what Allah Pak wants. Do how much you can. How much you can manage, do it. Even thereafter, you didn't complete, but in the records of Allah Ta'ala, you're successful, because you tried. You did how much you could do. Right? Things were still outstanding, but you did what you could. You tried, and you endeavored, and you worked. Your intention was right. When your intention is right, you worked according to your capacity, Allah Pak will allow all the systems to work in your favor. See the malaika, like here, this person here killed so many people. He made the malaika work in his favor. He made the earth work in their favor. The person that is coming to arbitrate, to arbiter them, he's making him also work in their favor. See? So Allah Ta'ala is getting all the systems in your favor, but then get your intention right. Try as much as you can. Then what Allah Pak does, istaqamu. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَّا تَحْزَنُوا So for the past, there's nothing for you to grieve about. Don't worry about the past. Don't think about it. That's ended. That's finished. Don't worry about it. Don't grieve yourself. Nowadays, they've got different istilah. You know? I was waking up this morning, or this afternoon, so I'm thinking that the istilah they got, the terminologies, unwind now. You know? Unwind. De-stress, you know. And chill off. Chill down. So this is exactly the same thing the malaika is saying, Allah Ta'ala, don't worry, no stress now. It's a stress-free life. You have stressed yourself or de-stress. Unwind now, relax now, cool off. So the malaika is saying exactly the same thing, but just that now this is the colloquial language that we are speaking, and this is the Quranic language. Allah Ta'ala, wa la tahzanu. Nothing, no stress, is a stress-free life. We cleared everything of the past, everything, all the accounts, all cleared up. Imagine someone comes and says, all the accounts are flushed, all are cleared up. Whatever you did, all accounts, we cleared it up. Don't worry about it. How cheer don't you feel? How rejoice don't you feel? Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ghani Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi. He was an Allah wala of the highest level. Allah wala of the highest level. And he left a big, huge account. But his niyat was right. There was no flaw in his intention. Right? He tried to the best. But he left behind a big, huge amount. A big debt he left behind. As he passed away, one Baniya comes in. Of all people, one Baniya comes in. And the Baniya says, if anybody's debt is unsettled, though I'm leaving this money here, this bag full of gold coins, he must take according to his need and must move off. Who's making the intizam? Allah Pak is making the intizam. You will have the debt, you tried your best, we will clear it up. One person comes to Hazrat Mawlana Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, and he says, Mawlana says him, he asks for bayat. So Mawlana says, he's an ordinary person, didn't you do anything wrong? Did you rob anybody, cheat? He said, I robbed and I cheated. These people of the village are very, very straightforward. No, I did rob, I did cheat, and I did tear people's pockets and all that. I did a lot of things. So go and ask everybody for maaf. He went up. He went up and he got everybody to make him maaf. And there, now big amounts he had stolen. So he, there amongst the people that he had stolen from and he had robbed was one Baniya, big amount. He had cut off his pocket and took away his whatever wealth. Now he's going to ask for maaf. That Baniya writes him. That Baniya writes in that form that he's prepared. I stole so much from this person here at this point. So that Banya's name is written there, amount, and he must sign that I have forgiven. Right? So this Baniya is signing there, Mene is Musalman ku hasbatan lillah muaf kar diya. Mene us Musalman ku hasbatan lillah muaf kar diya. Only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala I have forgiven him. Who is speaking? And who is making him to speak? Allah Pak is making him to speak. Ye karane wala kone? Allah Ta'ala ki zaat hai. Allah Pak is seeing that this man is sincere. He is a villager. He is sincere. He doesn't want to have any unsettled accounts with me. He wants to be clear. He wants to be on the track. So Allah Ta'ala will inspire even that Baniya. Like I said, if Allah Pak can get all the systems of the world working for someone, to get one Baniya to work for you, what's so difficult for Allah Ta'ala? So that Baniya is writing there, Mene hasbatan lillah is Musalman ko muaf kar diya. That whatever he stole from me, but he came and apologized, he asked for maaf, and for the sake of Allah, I don't want that amount, I wiped it out for him. Who is making it work? So, when a person is sincere, he's working, he's striving, he has got no wrong intentions, not to deceive, not to harm, not to hurt, and he's trying his level best to get things right, Allah will get the systems working for him. So one basharat and one good news he will get even in this world. In this life he'll get a good news. Allah Pak will show him. He is abode in Jannat. The woman that passed away I know of. Right? Allah Pak shows them the abode in Jannat. One woman reading Durood Sharif 1,000 times every day. And Allah Pak showed her, this is your abode in Jannat. So in this life, in this very life, your abode is shown to you. Then the second time that the farishtas come and give you the good news, they're attracting you, you know, is at the time of death. Oh, don't worry, bhai, don't worry. Don't worry about everything else now. You come to us. So he is looking forward. At the time of death also, he is looking forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is in the life. One is at the time of death, he is looking forward. Right? So this is the second time. And one is when he is in the grave, when he's in the qabr, that is the third occasion where the farishtas come and console him, they comfort him, they make him feel easy. Right? So one is in this life, one is at the time of death, the farishtas are coming and comforting him. They're making things easy for him. Don't worry, everything is working fine, everything is according to plan, everything according to schedule, everything is working. Don't worry. See? So in this life is right, at death, you are right. Then, when you are in the qabr, then again the malaika are coming, and they're comforting you from your right, they're comforting you from the left. See? They're making things easy for you. Nothing to worry about. You are absolutely comfortable, absolutely relaxed. Rabia rahmatullah alayha, she passed away. And the farishtas came to interrogate her. Man rabbuk, who is your Rabb? Well, Rabia asked her, asked those faristas that came to the gate, by the way, where have you come from? You come from the Asman, from the heavens. So from the heaven to the earth, what is the journey? What is the distance? Approximately 500 years, right? So you came from a journey, from a distance of 500 years to this earth. Did you forget Allah Ta'ala? Have you forgotten Allah Ta'ala? No. So I have only been lowered 2 meters down. How can I forget Allah Ta'ala? What's wrong with you people? See how relaxed. Is there anything to fear in the grave? For that mu'min who is sincere, who is clean, he doesn't mean evil, he means well, he means right. So there's nothing for him to fear in the qabr as well. At the time of death, there's nothing to fear. In this life, there's nothing to fear. In the qabr, there's nothing to fear. All the systems are working. Everything is working in his favor. That's the third time when he's in the qabr, getting up from the qabr, then again the malaika are supporting. Don't worry, bhai. Everything is working. Everything is well for you. And the fourth time that the malaika work in your favor is when you are getting up and you are proceeding to the Meydan al-Hashr. You are being collected now and you are coming to the Meydan al-Hashr. Then too, again it's all systems working in your favor. Malaika supporting you. There's Ahlullah and everybody. It's a cheerful occasion for you. It's just like you are waiting for your book of deeds and for your accounting to end. And it's just about 3 minutes. Fajr namaz. Two Fajr sunnat, how long? 3 minutes. 2-3 minutes and you finished. And 2-3 minutes you're wiped out and you're gone. I don't think there's a custom in the world, immigration in the world, that you get 3 minutes cleared up. You get a clearance in 3 minutes. Yeah, in 3 minutes straight they cleared you up and you're gone. You've gone to your destination. You've gone to your goal. So all the systems are working. Allah Pak is giving you that bashara, that good news. But then what is the requirement? The price that you have to pay. قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Get your iman right. Your yaqeen right. Allah Pak will do. Listen to him. Surrender to him. See? Submit yourself. Subject yourself to him. Whatever he says. Whether it appeals to your reasoning or not. I must give this amount. I must give this amount. I must perform this namaz. I must perform it. I must use my reasoning. Allah Pak said, I must do it. I must do it. Finish. I don't want to debate with myself. And I don't want to discuss with anybody else. It is the law of Allah to let it be. So he surrenders. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَمْ. He's straight. Then he's not deflecting. He's not moving away. He's surrendering to Allah all the way. And then he remains in that way. He doesn't move. Hither, thither. He doesn't move. He's not distracted. He remains straight. So for him is this basharat, is this good news. And in this very life, at the time of death, in the qabr, and the last and the final occasion, when he is being grouped to the Meydan-e-Hashr. Allah Ta'ala, sab ko tawfiq nasib.